Morning, and welcome to worship this morning, and welcome to Stephen, who's leading worship. Just a few intimations before we get started. As you know, all our grips are up. The knitting natter has not resumed yet. It'll be February, but I haven't got the official date, but I'll let you know once we've heard back from them. The Guild is on tomorrow afternoon. For anybody that was interested in going and hasn't seen Christine, can you please speak to Christine about that? Pancake night coming up on the 17th of February. Tickets will be on sale shortly for that. And there is a quiz night at Kirstairs Church on Friday night for anybody who's interested in attending that. I think it's teams of four. Is that right, Jean? Oh, that's no this Friday, the quiz night. All right, I'll check. Right. Well, that's a fair. I thought that was this month. Well, that's good. We've got plenty of time. We'll come to pancake night first. But there are forums for anybody that's interested in that quiz night at the back. So that's the kind of main intimations. This is a formal intimation from Presbytery. As you know, we're going through this process of our new union with Carnwath and Kirstairs Churches, which we'll have a formal vote on the 8th of February, and this is just the formal edict that I have to read out this week and next week prior to the vote. Okay, and well, it tells you that. So, the intimation is hereby given that a meeting of the congregation will be held in the church on Sunday, the 8th of February 2026, at the start of morning worship, for the purpose of receiving and voting for or against a basis of union and for or against accepting the Reverend Sumit Harrison as minister of the church. Only communicant members and adherents of the congregation who are present on the day are entitled to vote. Okay, so if you're not currently a member or an adherent, if you see me at the end, I can give you a wee forum, and that will allow you to vote as part of the vote on the 8th of February. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Margaret. And we wish happy birthday to Robert Burns this morning, for those who are interested. Now, our call to worship is from Psalm 27, verses 1, 4, and 5. And if you say together the... Well, I'm not quite sure. Oh, right, that's clearer. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. Amen. Please stand if you're able as we sing together in worship. Hymn 448, Lord, the light of your love is shining. Okay, let's come together before God in our prayers of approach. Let's pray. God of truth, we come before you in worship and adoration for all you mean to us and for all that you have done for us. We gather today to receive guidance and strength from you as our loving Heavenly Father. Forgiving God, we come together to admit our wrongs and to ask your forgiveness. We confess that we have fallen short of your standards. We have done things we should not have done. We have omitted to do what we should have done as followers of Christ. Forgive us when we fail to be good examples of the family of God in our homes or in our community or in our church. Forgive us when we say what we should not say or fail to say what should be said. Forgiving God, save us with your powerful mercy as we come in penitence before you. Shine your light into our darkness. Open our hearts and minds to your embrace, that we might embrace others in love and friendship, and knit us together in Christ. May we discover illumination for our pathway ahead. May your word be revealed through this time of worship and fellowship together. And may your call to action and your call to follow Jesus be made clear to us through your word. Hear us as we pray together with the words Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Good morning, boys and girls, and everyone else. I hope you're all enjoying the extra daylight that we get now that the days are getting longer. I wonder if you enjoy being in the dark. Anybody enjoy being in the dark, do you? What do you like about it?
I like it.
Yeah, right. And to have a light shining. So you don't want too much light if you're playing something particular. Now, I wonder if you have any idea what's in this bag. Not really a lot of important things, but I keep honeybees, and I have three hives full of honeybees. But I wonder, honeybees are a little bit different from other insects, because the honeybees don't actually die out in the winter time, and they don't hibernate. They stay alive inside their hive. But in this winter time, with the cold weather, the bees stay inside their hive, clustered. Now, every hive has got one queen, just one. If there was more than one, they would kill the second one. So they have one queen. And the bees, usually in the summertime, you see them flying around, honeybees collecting their nectar, and they're so busy that they only live for about 6 weeks. But in the wintertime, a honeybee will live for 6 months, because it's not flying around, it's inside the hive, it's all clustered together with its family, and they feed on the food that they've collected in the summer. So when it's dark and cold, like it is just now, they stay inside and they keep each other warm and they use up their stores. The queen starts to lay less eggs until she stops in December. There's no eggs in there, no young. And then when the days start to get longer, she starts to lay her eggs again. But inside the hive, although it's dark, if you can imagine it being completely dark, in the middle of the night, and the bees are still busy. They're doing things. They're taking their food and they're feeding each other. And in there, they don't have to see. They can feel. And they all touch each other with these feelers. And they communicate with each other with little noises and with scents. They make pheromones, that they call them, little scents. So they communicate. But the important thing with bees, they still need the daylight and the sun, like all of us. They need the warmth to go out, so it's got to be a way up above 5 degrees. They might start, but obviously they prefer a lot hotter than that. And they have to go out and gather their food in the summertime, so that in the winter they will survive, because if they don't have enough food, they will die out in the winter. And in the sunshine, they also find that guides them, because the sun's there, they know where to go and how to get there. So they need the sun just the same as us. And in the spring and the summer, when they collect all the food, they're hoping to get a big harvest, and here the beekeeper comes along and he takes some of it away. So sometimes we have to give them extra sugar inside to keep them going in the winter. In the reading in Matthew today, there's a prophecy about Jesus Christ coming, and it says, "On the people who lived in the land of deep darkness and death, a light has dawned." Now, it's not just talking about the sun, it's talking about the light of the world and the light of the knowledge of God, which has come through Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And Jesus wants us to follow him, and he will fill us with his light of salvation and set us free from sin and fear. And when we come to Jesus, he wants us to share his light and his love with other people, so that the light of Christ in us will shine a light in all the dark places in the world. Now, before Jigsaw leaves us, we're going to sing a song, 258 from Junior Praise. Okay. What, sorry?
What was in the bag?
What?
What was in the bag?
Oh. I didn't really show them. Well, one very important thing is what the bees make. You want to have a wee look at that. This is what comes in the honeycomb that they have, and they store this up. And some people like to eat it like that, you know. All right.
And I'll watch it.
Well, this is what the bees make. And what we sometimes do, we try and spin it out, and then it gets put into jars. This thing, I sometimes have to use that to move bees out of the way. But you have to be careful, because you can make them very angry. And this one is probably the most important tool, because the bees also stick the frames and things together, and you have to get this underneath to loosen them, because they put on something called propolis, which is a very sticky substance, and a lot of people now are trying to get propolis. This little thing I've got here, anybody guess what that's for? Yeah? That's to trap the queen, actually. You put the queen in that. So if you're doing something, you don't want to damage the queen, you might put her in this and then sit her back on the top. Because a lot of queens get killed by the beekeeper being a bit clumsy. So
the bees all
look after the queen inside the hive. So she doesn't feed herself. The bees feed her. Oh, well, in the middle of summer, a hive can have 50,000 bees. Now, at the moment, there's maybe only between 10 and 20,000 in the hive. But she lays loads of eggs, thousands of eggs. And so the middle of summer, there's quite a lot of bees in there. But you wouldn't say go too near a hive, because they might, if somebody's been in there before and you come along, they might decide to give you a sting because they're not happy. Yeah.
When you trap the, the queen, does all the bees try to hurt you?
Well, yeah, they would be quite annoyed. But that's why you put her in there and you put her back beside them, because as long as she's around, she gives off this pheromone and they know she's there and she's all right.
How long and how tall are they?
Oh, they're only about that size, yeah. That's about the length. The queen's a wee bit longer. She's about 1.5 times the length of the other. But they're all very small. I need to do a lesson on bees. Now we'll sing this song, This Little Light of Mine, just before you go out. We're going to have a reading now from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1 to 4, and Matthew 4, verse 12 to 23 from Agnes.
Right, the first reading is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 4. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen great light, and those living on the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people of the rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, and the rod of their oppression. And the second reading is Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was the lake by the sea of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people of the living in darkness have seen great light. On those living in the land of shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come and follow me," Jesus said. "I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness among the people. Amen.
Thanks, Agnes. Now we're going to sing another hymn just now, 336. Christ is our light, the bright and morning star. Sorry, I got the wrong number. No. 336. Let's pray. Our Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Now, obviously, a little bit disorientated this morning. I'm a bit deaf in the right ear just now, so I'm not quite hearing things right. Genesis tells us early on in the creation story that darkness was over the surface of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And he separated the light, which he called day, from the darkness, which he called night. There was evening and there was morning, the first day, right at the beginning of God's creation. We live our lives with days of darkness and light. So we have a routine where generally we sleep during darkness. Some people find it difficult to cope with the long winter nights of darkness, and it often affects our mental health. We would feel happier when the sunny days come and the days are longer. We can find darkness to be depressing and disorientating at times. Now, I remember very early on in my teenage years, I had a period where I was sleepwalking. And I remember a few times when I woke up to find myself standing against a wall in the darkness. I didn't know where I was. And I would feel my way along the wall, trying to find a way out. Wherever I was, I had no idea. Thankfully, it happened mostly in my bedroom and with the door shut. And so eventually, as I was going along the wall, I bumped into the edge of the bed. And I usually decided just to have a rest on the bed. And then I fell asleep again. And I woke on in the morning and found I was in my own bed. That's what darkness can do to you sometimes. I did worry about this for a while, although I heard of it happening to some other teenagers, and eventually I grew out of it. I'm sure most of us prefer light to darkness. And if we're in the dark, we would light a candle or have a torch. Now, both of the passages that we read today speak of darkness and light, and both quote the same prophecy. Most of us are familiar with the Gospel of Matthew, which was written by the one of Jesus' disciples who was a tax collector. And God often used many ordinary people to declare his message. Some of the disciples and authors were lowly fishermen, while others, such as Paul, were quite well educated. Isaiah the prophet in the first reading, he lived 700 years before Jesus' birth. And by Jewish tradition, he was related to the nobility. He prophesied after a period of relative stability and peace under King Uzziah. And we read in chapter 6 of Isaiah that he was given a vision of God on his throne. God had a message for his people, and he asked, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah took up the challenge, and he said, "Here am I, send me." From then on, Isaiah spoke God's words to the people. Sometimes he spoke of judgment, and sometimes he spoke of hope. Isaiah's message featured in our readings in recent weeks, when he foretold about a ruler and a future kingdom, where there would be peace even among the animals. Then last week we read of the Lord's servant coming and were encouraged to share the gospel with others. This week's reading points to the revelation of Jesus as the light of the world. There is a measure of foretelling and fulfillment in Isaiah's prophecies. And he prophesied about the credentials of the coming Messiah in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Isaiah also spoke about the suffering servant who would come, and he would take the people's sins on himself. And especially you'll find that in Isaiah chapter 53. But he also prophesied about the oncoming judgment on Israel for their unfaithfulness. And Isaiah, when he spoke about that, obviously he wasn't very popular. Because the people wanted to see that God would deliver them from the Assyrians. But Isaiah prophesied that Assyria would invade the land and take the people into captivity. And Assyria was an expanding world power at that time. And their empire stretched from where Iran is now, up through Iraq and Syria and the east part of Turkey. So going right what they call the Fertile Crescent. They were around that area and they were coming down along the east coast of the Mediterranean Sea towards Egypt, and Israel was in its path. The Assyrians were known to be quite brutal in their methods, and this invasion and deportation is what would bring the darkness and the shadow of death to the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and the people would be in captivity for 490 years. But then in the Matthew reading, we have the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of hope, referring to Jesus as the Messiah, bringing his light to these dark lands. In the passage that was read, Jesus is told of his cousin, John the Baptist, being put in prison. And so his preaching of repentance was finished. It was time for Jesus to begin his ministry and bring light with his message of the good news of the gospel. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come. He began his ministry appointing his disciples and performing miracles in the area of Galilee, which was the area referred to in the prophecy. He has come to bring freedom from sin and to release people from all that binds them. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." In John 8:12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." When we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, he shines his light into our lives. Now our calling is to share that light of Christ with others and to shine his light in the dark places of the world. Sometimes the world can feel dark and threatening. What are the things we are afraid of? What makes us worried or anxious? God doesn't want us to be living in fear, as we have been given hope. Christ has taken all our fears on himself, and God has shone on us the light of Christ. Sometimes we can't see the way ahead. Sometimes the fear of the known or even the unknown brings darkness. But Jesus wants us to hand over all our anxieties to him. Are we living in a dark place? We don't need to. Jesus wants to shine his light of truth into our situation and dispel the darkness. He wants to free us from our sins and from all our fears. When we are in Christ, we have his reassurance and the certainty of his light and love. As we are freed to live in his light, we should then take that light to share with others. Let's just pray. Now, Father, we pray for those here who may be in a dark place, for those who perhaps cannot see a clear path ahead. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would shine the light of Christ into each of our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and give us the assurance of your love and your presence with us. Amen. Then we'll sing together hymn number 125, Lord of all being, throned afar. We'll worship God in the offering. Let's pray together. Our Father, we acknowledge that all we have comes from you, and we ask that you would accept these offerings from your people, and may they be used to extend your kingdom and glorify your name. Amen. Now, Laura Jane is going to come and lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we unite in prayer, enlightened by having known you and your love. We thank you for sending us your Son, Jesus, who brought light to this dark world and became the physical embodiment of your word. May we remember that your word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our paths that you have drawn out for us. May we continue to live our lives as you intended, to be a support for the marginalised and persecuted in society. God of light, work in us to be channels of peace in such uncertain times. May you guide us and keep us true. We pray for those who find themselves in darkness, whether through ill health, grief, or a loss of faith. May they be blessed by your love and healing to guide them back to the light. We pray for our political leaders, locally, nationally and internationally. May they work to be the peacemakers to bring your kingdom of peace into reality here on earth. God of light and love, knowing that we are in your favour is enough, may we continue to be blessed and guided through all the toils and tribulations sent to tempt us from your light. Thank you for walking with us through life and carrying us when times get tough. In Jesus' name we ask this, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
We'll sing together our closing hymn, 543. Longing for light, we wait in darkness.
Thank you.
May you go into the week ahead filled with the knowledge that God's light shines upon you and all the world. And may the peace of God, the love of Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with us all in our hearts and thoughts this day and always.